Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh, I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, last time we watched Barbarella.
Mm-hmm.
A Dino De Laurentiis production.
Yep.
So I thought this time I'd make you watch Flash Gordon, also a Dino De Laurentiis production.
His fingerprints are all over it.
Oh my God, yes. Gut reaction, real quick.
Gut reaction, real quick. Was this revenge?
No.
I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to.
Fair.
How's that?
That's fair.
I started, because you told me that we were going to watch Flash Gordon. I'm just like, serial from the 30s?
No.
Movie from the 1980s.
1980 specifically.
1980. And I'm just like, space movies, 1980s. Star Wars was 77. Okay. And then I looked at the box art that I'd failed to look at with Barbarella and... Oh, no. And then we start watching him just like, because the dude who plays Flash Gordon, he's an unsettling looking fellow.
He's got a jaw.
He does have a jaw.
So, for those of you who don't know, Flash Gordon, old comic strip, 1930s, 40s movie serials, mm-hmm. Very low budget. Remade in 1980 into a feature film.
And a sequel after that.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. And anyway. The movie starts off with ominous music and what appear to be crosshairs closing in on Earth.
And it is the nicest weather Earth has ever seen.
Oh, absolutely.
Not a cloud in the sky. Looks like the Universal International.
Yeah. It's great. So we hear some voiceover and, you know, I found this obscure planet for you. Are you going to destroy it? Later. I like to toy with my things a while.
So says Jesus.
Before annihilation. And then, you know, buttons are pushed and earthquakes happen and typhoons and whatever. And you just see these images of Earth and whatever and cackling evil laughter. Then we hear Queen.
Flash!
Not the Queen. Not a Queen. Queen.
The sultry sounds of Freddie
Mercury. Freddie fucking Mercury. And that is how the movie Flash Gordon begins.
Mm-hmm.
After the opening credits, which are probably more epic than the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Not...
With the exception of the Timothy Dalton fight toward the end.
Yes. It's not one of those things where, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon or Thundercats, where you watch the opening and you're like, oh my God, this is going to kick ass, and mm-hmm. It doesn't. It's just they put a little bit more kick ass into the opening credits than the rest of the movie. But
yeah.
It's still, yeah. So, we are introduced to New York Jets quarterback, Flash Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back from vacation.
Well, he deserved it.
He deserved it, yes.
After last season.
Yeah. A beautiful young woman named Dale Arden.
Yep.
They get on a plane together, bound for New York. Then, shit hits the fan.
It does.
Whatever's been going on, it starts happening on Earth. The skies turn red. The clouds roll in like ink over paper. You know, it's red hot hail falls from the sky.
Hot hail.
It
predicted 2020 so well.
Oh, my God. So, the pilots get sucked out of the plane. Flash, having a few flying lessons, but not the one that teach him how to land, gets behind the controls, and they try to get to safety. We are then introduced to Dr. Oh, what's his name?
Zola something.
Zarkov. Dr. Zarkov.
Really? He wasn't Zola? No. Zolard?
No.
Zarkov.
Dr. Zarkov, who predicted this would happen. He knew something was going on, and it was by aliens. Aliens! Mm-hmm. He's been discredited. He's been kicked out of NASA, and he's working in a old greenhouse observatory. And he's built a rocket ship because once this starts, he's going to take the fight to them. And now's the time. Well, after a bit of an exchange with his reluctant assistant at gunpoint,
mm-hmm.
Flash's plane crashes into the laboratory.
Yep.
Yeah. Everybody's fine. It's all good.
Except for the assistant.
Well, he jumped out of the way.
I thought he got run over by the plane.
No.
Okay.
Maybe. He's irrelevant.
This is true.
Yeah. So they get out of the plane, ask to use the phone. He says, oh, yes, it's right here. Gestures them to the rocket ship, where they are then shanghaied.
Yep.
A bit of a tussle ensues, and the launch button is hit by accident with Zarkov's head.
Yep. Thank you for pressing the launch button.
Yes. So they are then blasted off into space, where they are then knocked unconscious by the G-force. This right here, this sequence from the time that Dale and Flash met and got on the plane to the time that they first get separated in the movie is the longest stint they spend together in the entire movie.
Yep.
And in their entire lives up to this point. Keep that in mind.
Yep.
So they're blasted off through space, hurled through the cosmos, and they come across and they are pulled into the planet Mongo. They are brought as prisoners before Ming the Merciless, the dictator despot of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Ming has taken, and this world is filled with all kinds of species.
Yep, all kinds of peoples.
All kinds of peoples. Hawkmen.
Mm-hmm.
Lizard men. People who have a Robin Hood fetish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sand people. You know, the like. You know, it's basically, the cantina in Star Wars.
Mos Eisley.
Mos Eisley. It's basically Mos Eisley.
Just mm-hmm.
Everybody's there. So they're brought before Ming, and it's tribute time. All the different nations and whatever have to make tribute to Ming. Well, they get there, and Flash isn't too happy.
Mm-mm.
And when Ming tries to take a swipe at his girl, which, you know, bear in mind, he's only met maybe a few hours ago. Depends on.
Well, we don't know how long they were unconscious together in the ship with holding hands. But I mean, high school rules, they're practically married.
Yeah, it's true. By high school rules, yes. What happens next is
weird.
Gloriously bad.
Okay, I'll go along with gloriously bad, yeah.
Remember, Flash is a quarterback for the New York Jets.
Yeah.
So what ensues next is a football-style fight against Flash and several armored guards. They have no weapons, but they're wearing armor.
Yeah.
At one point, Flash gets a hold of a ball and just wreaks havoc on these guys. I've never seen a quarterback do that. He was taking linebacker moves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, insert sports reference here that would make sense to somebody who knows sports.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll edit it in.
Yeah. We'll have Darren
clearly
with something. Yeah.
Darren knows these things.
But you have this. Dale is cheering him on in the most horrible way possible.
Rick him, wreck him, rock him, rake.
Pretty much, yeah. He gets hit in the head accidentally and is sentenced to death. Ming's daughter doesn't want him to die because she wants to play with him.
Well, you know.
Well, yes.
He looks like a Ken doll.
Yes. So, through her efforts, he's not actually killed. He's brought back by magic. They never explain.
It's pretty convincing magic.
It is.
Shot in the arm.
Shot in the arm, yeah. And so she takes him to one of the neighboring moons.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Basically, the rest of the movie is Flash trying to unite the various groups against Ming.
Mm-hmm.
There are high quality points in this movie.
Oh, yes.
There's any scene with Timothy Dalton. Yes, James Bond is in this movie.
Yep.
Any scene with Brian Blessed as one of the Hawkmen, the leader of the Hawkmen.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't know who Brian Blessed is, pause this podcast, Google it, and then come back to us.
Just Google the scene, Gordon's alive?
Or watch the first series of Blackadder.
That would be a good one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is Brian Blessed at his most Brian Blessed.
Yeah. I think he was actually in a version of Macbeth as well.
Yes. He is one of those Shakespeareanly trained actors who gets cast in other roles when he's not on stage.
This is a guy whose teeth take up like extra room in his mouth. And he knows it, and like that's his selling point. So when he laughs, his lips peel back a little bit extra, and you see lots of teeth.
Yes.
And then you hear this, like...
Exactly. So, Flash somehow, inexplicably, unites the various troops across this planet. Ming has decided he's going to marry Dale Arden.
Of course he is.
To make her the queen of the hour, essentially. And
that's in the vows.
It's in the vows. And to not hurl her into the cold depths of space until he's had his way with her. Also in the vows. And there's a big fight scene with a bunch of Hawkmen and a ship, and then the ship is commandeered by Flash and flown into the palace, and it's the ship. It's a spaceship. It is a spaceship. It has a very pointy 8-foot-long nose cone.
Yeah.
And they crash into the palace, and it stabs Ming right through the chest.
Right in it.
Yeah. He's got green blood. He's part Vulcan.
Clearly.
It's alluded that he dies. We're not sure, because he just kind of disappears. And Earth is saved, because Ming is now dead. The people of Mongo are now saved. Flash is their hero, and all is right with both worlds. They offer, you know, you have a place here, please stay with us. No. It's too quiet here. We want to get back to New York City.
The end?
The end, question mark, because somebody picks up Ming's power ring, and you hear his evil laughter. And then cue more Queen music.
Which is amazing.
It is. The entire soundtrack is composed and performed by Queen.
Even the stuff that you're listening, you're like, that's not Queen.
Yes, it is. Yes, this is 1980 Queen when they started adding synthesizers and stuff. Yes.
So, and to make it all sci-fi-y.
Exactly. So.
So we've already mentioned Brian Blessed.
Yes.
And Timothy Dalton.
Yes.
So Ming the Merciless is played by Max von Sydow.
Yes.
Who was Jesus at one point. And Chaim... Topol is Zarkov, and I know that name because he was in the 1971 version of Fiddler on the Roof, and so the whole time I'm watching this guy being, you know, a crazy scientist dude, I'm just watching him in like Russian peasant clothes going, if I were a rich man, I can't not see that. Kind of like Barbarella, though. The actors are so damn sincere in every scene that they're in. The only one that you kind of get half a wink out of is Timothy Dalton. Like, that he knows that there's something a little bit odd about this thing that he's doing. but he's buying in.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, all right, we're this is what we're doing. So
I've been paid. So
yeah, and he jumps right into it. It's so weird. It's not bad weird though.
No.
This is not bad weird. We've watched bad weird.
Oh yes, absolutely.
You know, this is not bad weird. What this is this is what Star Wars would have been had Lucas not been. Like if somebody yes. else had taken the story of Star Wars and said, "Okay, let's do this space movie."
Mm-hmm.
And not taken the time or the budget to really realize how are these things going to look. Because there's some of that stuff that looks amazing in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Their sequin budget had to have been through the roof.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, footnote, my spouse said that.
Thanks, Liz.
I just want to make sure that I'm properly citing my sources when I quote someone.
Fair enough.
That being said, the Hawkman capital city looks great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is this great big fortress city that has like giant rockets underneath it.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. Once you're inside the city on the terrifying death wobble, not so cool and pretty. Brian Blessed makes up for it with his maniacal laugh.
Yes, he does.
The city, the Mongo capital city itself looks very distinct. Like they figured out this is what this particular world is about.
Yes.
And they designed everything to match that. So you have all these different peoples of different places that have their costumes and have their kind of look to them
mm-hmm.
that are good and distinct and separate and be able to say, okay, well, we can tell that these are the cultures represented here. None of them belong to the culture that is the capital city of Ming the Merciless.
Yes.
You can look into any room. You're like, we're in the capital right now, as opposed to we're in the Hawkman city.
Yeah.
Or we're in the Robin Hood city on yeah. Endor.
Pretty much, yeah.
Kind of thing. And so I can't stress quite enough how well the set design worked to help tell the story. You know, to have, because while they never quite get there, the idea is to unite the different cultures against Ming the Merciless. Really, we're only introduced to two other cultures, and only one of those fights.
Yes.
So, but this is a movie that I look forward to watching again sometime to pick up what I've missed.
Exactly.
Because I think that there's some things in there that, you know, the two times that I got up, one was to get pretzels and the other time was to wash my hands, you know, from the apple that I also picked up.
Okay, yeah.
You know, kind of thing. It just, I wasn't out of the room so much that I need to catch up on the scenes that I missed.
Yeah. And I agree, because watching it, just rewatching it for this, I was like, I didn't notice that before.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those little things.
And so, this is not a bad movie. It is and it isn't. It's a bad movie by today's standards.
Yes.
If this were a product made today, people would be like, what the? This is ironic, right?
I think it was a bad movie by 80s standards.
It might have been.
I think it just barely broke budget.
Okay. Well,
I don't think it earned a ton of money. It's got a nice cult following now,
mm-hmm.
but back in the day.
This is one of those movies where you watch it, you're kind of confused that you're watching it, and then when it's over, it's like you think about it, and it's like, huh, what was that part again, or what was that, or how did they get from this to that?
Yeah.
And you watch it again, and you pick up little things.
Yeah.
It is almost like watching a good mystery. you know, once you've watched a mystery, so say you've watched Knives Out, all right?
Yeah.
A good movie.
And I have.
And I will say Knives Out is a solid, good movie.
Yes, it is.
You get to the end of it and you've got all the reveals. Then you go back and rewatch it to see what you can pick up. Because everybody in the movie is lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody.
Yeah.
And so this is a movie where it's like, okay, I've seen the whole thing. I know the arc of all these important characters and what's going to happen. Now let's see if there's any other tells. And I think that there probably are. There's a couple that I'd want to know is like, there's a female like captain or general or something that I don't know if her arc is just forgotten or if I've missed some other things that are in there, but
yeah, sure.
Well, cause she makes some decisions and she does some things and it's just like, that doesn't make sense why these things are happening.
Yeah.
And so, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is just all surface level stuff, but I don't think it is. So my opinion, see it with friends, especially.
Absolutely.
Friends will be better the first time you watch it. The second time you watch it, you can watch it on your own.
The first time I watched it, it was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in awe of the badness of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second time I, air quote, watched it, I put it on, I turned it up, and just let the music play while I was doing stuff around the house. Because, like I said, throughout this entire
movie... Oh, music's solid.
Queen... And it's not like a Queen's greatest hit. They released the Flash Gordon album as a standalone album, and I will listen to it randomly, just whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I hadn't watched it in a long time until recently for this. Yeah,
well, yeah.
So
Barbarella brings that out of people.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you agree with me. See it with friends. If nothing else, maybe this will help.
Mm-hmm.
Max von Sydow, who plays Ming the Merciless,
mm-hmm.
was Father Marin in The Exorcist.
Yes.
The old priest.
Right.
The Exorcist came out a couple years before Flash Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
So, headcanon. You don't see Father Marin die, but maybe this is the hallucinatory dream he's having in his as his life is slipping out of his body. Where the man of the cloth is now the evil despot. And this is what causes him to perish in The Exorcist. Headcanon.
It's all just taking place inside that split second.
That split second, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well.
All right. Well, I think that about does it for Flash Gordon.
I think that covers Flash Gordon.
I also think it's your turn.
Oh, I got a couple ideas.